A peg my scraper, we his fiddle, for used to trice and fierce to drill. With horn and hinch and upward dee, he crooned his gamut, 1, 2, 3. Then, in an ario so key, the wee Apollo set off with allegretto glee, his gigasol.
Some Dare to Diddle mix there by Aidan O'Rourke from the Vertical Variations Volume 1 called Bach Humburg. But I kind of like that little fiddle there, and kind of a little segue into a little review in conjunction with Rachel. Thanks for joining us, Rachel, and Zeke, of course.
Tag team today.
On the latest exhibit that's running until next year, from what I read on the website of McCord Museum, until April 2010. That's like a really long time to start from March till then.
But so they need to get all the schools in Montreal to go see it.
Okay.
That's the whole idea behind having it that long. They schedule the schools in. It's a didactic exhibition, and at which point, since it's didactic, they got to teach people. They get the little kids in, and at which point everybody learns about Irish history.
Or do they?
I actually like the fact that it's we sort of serendipitously use a second really, like, I don't know, 25-cent word, 2-bit word. Is there yesterday there was the walk to the Black Rock, and that was one of the things that I realized in thinking, although I did not see at the exhibit. Does you know at all about the Black Rock?
No.
The Black Rock is because there were a lot of Irish immigrants who built the Victoria Bridge. And it was built by three companies, Peto, Grassi, and Betts, who are the construction companies. And there it's at the entrance to the Victoria Bridge on Bridge Street down in Point St. Charles. There's a big black rock that vaguely looks like a potato that is engraved saying, "To preserve from desecration the remains of 6,000 immigrants who died of ship fever in between 1847 and 1848, this stone is erected by the workmen of Mr. Peto, Grassi, and Betts, employed in the construction of the Victoria Bridge in 1859. And to me, it's a sort of thing where, yeah, they picked and chose what it was that they wanted to reflect as far as the Irish immigrant experience here in Montreal.
Yeah, well, it's the Irlande au Quebec, so being Irish au Quebec. So it's quite specific, I think. Anyway, their mandate is specific. But I think it's interesting for me to see notions about Irish identity as viewed in Canada as opposed to viewed in Ireland, because there's a huge variance. Like back in Ireland, I think the Irish identity, although the economy had been doing well before the recent crash, there was a new self-confidence, but underlying that there was still quite similar to what can be described as like the Quebecois self-image, which would be quite a lot of unhappy homes, quite working class, quite. And yet here, when I came over, I noticed that people's attitudes towards the Irish was not like that at all. The attitudes towards Irish people in the museum particularly shows people who are quite gregarious, quite social, quite politically active. So it's a different take on it.
Yeah, well, there's more of a cliche-driven idea of the Irish, especially with that whole strip of Irish bars along Crescent Street and so on, and then Celtic music. And there's very little awareness of the, I would say, widely divergent types of stuff that I would imagine you'd find in Ireland. But they're getting back to the exhibit and stuff like that. It's where, to my mind, it almost sort of focused on those, I don't... hard to say cliches, but it definitely did have very specific points that it wanted to drive home. And that I always have difficulties with that when there's a specific point and it's like, there are other points, and it's if you're saying this, then you're ignoring that, and so on. And to me, to get a much more the whole spectrum.
Yeah, well, I think they, you know, that they're limited in what they can do if you're going to make an exhibition called Being Irish Au Quebec. They're not really investigating Irish culture. That's not what the exhibition is attempting to do.
It's Irish culture in Quebec.
Yeah, so it is a different entity. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, they're limited with how much they can go into.
However, they're even within the Irish identity in Quebec. It's the sort of thing where I'm just surprised because two of the things that I know about it, such as the Black Rock and the building of the Victoria Bridge, plus the Ghost of Mary Gallagher in Griffintown, mm-hmm. I didn't see any of that at the exhibition. I'm saying hello, and those to me are like the prime things because they are sort of big and impressive and very entertaining as well with regard to actually big black rocks with engraving in them, and ghosts are always lots of fun.
Yeah.
And so then to try and figure out
I was just going to add something.
Yeah?
I was just going to add something about culture, right? Because it's a really, this is what I was really curious to know, especially from you, Rachel, because of the fact that you are aware of course, the different second generations mm-hmm. and first generations and that have come to Quebec. And, of course, that whole idea of displaced culture and then how it's adopted and then how it's transformed into a whole other culture that still tries to take from the motherland, we'll say, from Ireland, but then it's just totally... I mean, did you feel any attachment, or did you feel some sort of, when you were going through the exhibit, did you feel as though it was really representing a part of an Ireland that you know, or do you think it was really radically different from anything that's associated towards your culture? And that's a very an intricate question there, but...
It's intricate, curious. But I think it's really relevant, especially to my experience, because I actually found that there was very little I had in common. Because the Irish people who would have come over here and were really heavily involved in the Quebecois, that would have happened in, you know, the 1800s. So they were leaving a very different Ireland. They were extremely Catholic, something that Ireland really isn't anymore. Mm. People are Catholic in name only, but there isn't that Catholicism. There isn't the link between church and state. There's none of those same attitudes. So for me, their vision of being Irish is almost 95% different from mine. Even from the point of view of, for me, the parade is such a big deal here. It's a big part of the exhibition. And obviously for any immigrant culture, having like a day where they can celebrate their origins, of course, is going to be a huge event, and St. Patrick's Day has been a huge event internationally. But the day itself is the 17th of March, and that because that's a national day of holiday in Ireland, it's a big deal for us back home. But it's quite strange that here the actual date itself has lost importance. You know, St. Patrick's Day was celebrated on the 22nd of March here, and I'm like, well, that's not St. Patrick's Day.
The parade especially changes depending on the week, right? But I was just wondering, though, for both of you, maybe you can answer me this question. Has the exhibit romanticized the whole Irish ideology, or do you think that the exhibit did well in representing the Irish culture or the migration that occurred within that time period?
Yeah, I don't think it romanticized it. I think it would have been possibly a little bit more interesting to have a few more details on the Gros Île and the travel to Quebec, because I had done a little bit of research for some other project I'm working on, and I saw that in 1849, which was the height of the potato famine in Ireland, when there was lots of immigration taking place and then lots of famine ships were coming to North America, in 1849, particularly in that year, when people were being turned away from New York because of typhus and sickness on the boats, Montreal was actually accepting people. So I thought that was a really interesting story, and that was something that I'd come upon myself, and I didn't see that in the exhibition. I think it would have been fascinating to look into in 1849, there was almost as many Irish immigrants coming to Quebec and Montreal as were going to New York, which was huge.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. What about you, Zeke?
Well, there it's a sort of thing where I just did a cursory tour. I'm going to go back and see it because it's always the sort of thing they said, yes, because we're press, we can get in for free. And it's always fun because it's one of the things...
And we talk about it, which is very important.
One of the things that I find difficult with the McCord is just how expensive it is. And having given a cursory look to the exhibition, I'm not really able to make any comments, but they're given the press conference that they had. The thing that I found most interesting, and they're one of the reasons why it sort of blipped on my radar, is they actually had two former premiers who came in to talk to, I don't know, the 12 of us who were there. And they had Daniel and Pierre-Marc Johnson, who are both Irish Quebecois. And they explained their history to being Irish Quebecois and so on. And that's the one thing that I sort of realized was, yes, it is a very specific Irish Quebecois sort of history that they're trying to put out, but then also it's a sort of thing of, so by delineating that and having previously done the Chinese, and I assume at some point they're going to do the Jews, and then at some point they're going to do the Palestinians or the Arabs or the Lebanese or the Moroccan Jews or so on, it's where they're coming out and trying to unite cultures and make people aware of various cultural differences within the city and so on. I'm not so certain I agree with the fact that by designating various types that it's actually working. I'd much prefer to see sort of like the immigrant experience I'm an immigrant, yeah. And it's one of the sort of things that I get fascinated with is I have to carry around this little card because I'm not a Canadian citizen, mm-hmm. and invariably it's meant for various other nefarious purposes. And I'd much prefer to see sort of like, yeah, if they're trying to sort of make everybody more tolerant about others and so on, then okay, so what was the immigrant experience in 1940 versus the immigrant experience in 1840, and maybe make a show of that, because in 1840 you had the Irish, you had the some Italians probably, and some Portuguese who were coming into town. In the 1940s, you had a completely different set of immigrants, and how they then mm-hmm. reflect on the city as opposed to sort of saying, oh, the Irish are different,
yeah.
and the Chinese are different, or the Jews are different.
So I didn't want to cut you off, but
fine.
Maybe perhaps kind of doing a kind of a collective exhibit, perhaps looking at the multiculturalism of Montreal, perhaps throughout the years.
That could be one, yeah, that's just off the top of my head, but I did recognize definitely there are walls and barriers. Mm-hmm. You are Irish Quebecois, yeah. You are not.
And one of the flaws is in the exhibit is definitely you can't really tell the story of, you know, the Irish Quebecois just by looking at the Irish story, because that's ridiculous. You know, they there would have been so much involvement with other immigration and other ethnologies.
The other thing to add as well is the language, the yeah. fact that it's being, I'm assuming it's in French and English.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're both the Johnson, the brothers Johnson are completely francophone. Okay. It is there the one thing that
just had to be sure, because that's very important to mention that, in the sense that a lot of Irish here are very much francophone as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very important to mention.
In Quebec, the interesting thing I came across was that there was more intermarrying between the Irish and the francophone community than with the English-speaking community, because they shared the religion. And Daniel Johnson made this very interesting comment that his wife came from an Anglophone family, grew up in Quebec, Quebec City. Her parents wanted to send her to a French-speaking school. They didn't have the option of sending her to a French-speaking school that wasn't Catholic, so they ended up sending her to an English-speaking school. So Catholicism was a huge division, religion was a huge division between the Francophone and Anglophone communities.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, to chat about that and give us a little overview of McCord Museum's latest exhibit. Of course, Au Québec it's called, I believe, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we go to Democracy Now! Headlines, unfortunately, to cut you off, but it's fortunate for those who want to listen into the headlines, so let's go in and tune into that. You're listening to Monday Morning After Show on CKUT 90.3 FM.